It is finally time to announce the Money Summit. The Money Summit has been a passion project of mine for quite some time now. What it is I bring together all of the best minds in personal finance, all female speakers, to share their favorite topics with you for free. Topics are going to be covered such as budgeting, travel hacking, paying off debt, tax planning, something we all need to do but don't always love to do that, investing in real estate, retirement. If you feel like you are just so confused on all of these things, we're going to cover all of that and even minimalism. This is a must-attend event. Mark your calendars now. It's going to be amazing. July 20th through the 22nd. Get your seat at whitneyhanson.com/moneysummit and you will get in on all of the free content. Cannot wait to see you. You are going to love it and get to learn from all of these amazing people. See you soon. Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hanson, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Guess what? We are a week away from the first ever Money Summit. I am so excited. We've got about 25 people that are going to be speaking, all female speakers, which is actually really cool in my opinion. And we're all getting together. We're all going to be chatting, teaching workshops for 3 days straight for free on Facebook Live. If you have not gotten your seat, I shared the link at the very beginning, but I'm going to share it again because it's a really big deal. It's whitneyhanson.com/moneysummit. That's where you can go to RSVP, get your seat. I've got some really sweet little giveaways that are going to be going down as well for the pre-launch, and then giveaways during the actual sessions as well. So there's going to be a daily giveaway every single day. It's a ton of fun. It's a big collaboration effort. And I'm so grateful for all of the speakers for coming together, rallying around this idea and making financial independence for women more accessible. So I'm stoked about it. And I hope that you support the mission as well. All right, enough about me and the Money Summit. You guys are probably getting sick of hearing about that because I have been bombarding social media with it. Today, we've got a really fun interview. Our interview is with Cheryl Fields. Cheryl's a professional speaker and she founded Lifestyle Wealth Group, which is kind of a cool approach to financial planning. But before we get into Cheryl's story and Cheryl's interview, let's dive into our money wins. This is like my favorite segment ever, and I hope you guys enjoy this one too. Today's money win comes from the Facebook group, and this is from Kara. Kara says, I worked overtime on today's paycheck. $1,800 can go towards my debt. Hashtag money win. Kara, congratulations on working all of the overtime and more importantly, on having the discipline to put that money towards your debt. It's so hard to do when you get that extra cash. It's so much more exciting to go spend it on traveling or eating out or something else. But I'm really, truly proud of you for doing the right thing and putting that towards your debt and taking responsibility. At that rate, it's going to be gone in no time. So congrats on that. All right, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. As I mentioned, this was Cheryl Fields. Cheryl's been an entrepreneur for over 30 years, which is really sweet. She's a frequent guest on radio shows and podcasts. She hosts 30-minute workshops weekly, which is really amazing. And she shares powerful financial strategies. So what she does is she actually helps people get out of debt in record time, be well on your way to a safe and secure financial future. She's a former financial planner. She speaks all across the country, so she really knows what she's talking about. And she shares some strategies that actually I had never heard before, which was really interesting for me because I think I've heard almost everything in the financial world at this stage. In this interview, we talk about what liquidity is when it comes to your finances. We talk about not being deceived by the small interest rate on your student loans. You might still be paying them off until you die. So we dive into that, which is a scary statement to make. We talk about how if you still have student loans when you retire, hypothetically, and if you listen to this podcast, that's not going to be you. I trust you. But if you are still having student loans when you retire, they can actually take that out of your Social Security. Crazy. We talk about that. We also talk about a really important stat. And this is the one that I hadn't heard before, that Americans spend 29% of their income on interest. We talk about how to leverage things in your financial life, what things you can find to leverage. Do you actually understand the terms of your student loan when you sign that dotted line, or in this case, when you type your signature? And we talk about 401ks and are they actually really a good idea? All of this and so much more. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to Cheryl Fields from LifestyleWealthGroup.com. Welcome back, guys. Today I have a very special guest with us. I have Cheryl Fields, and Cheryl is so amazing. We were chatting a little bit before we officially recorded about your background, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this and a lot of seriousness, but also a little bit of lightheartedness. So Cheryl, thank you so, so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Whitney, for having me. Yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you.
Likewise. So you've got quite an awesome background, 35 years of business and entrepreneurship, and now helping people get their stuff together with money. So that's all pretty awesome. But can you take us back of like, how did you get involved in business to begin with, and give us more of that surface level, who you are, what you do kind of stuff?
Sure. I'm glad to. So I was born in the California, LA area, went to school in San Diego. And as my friends all went off to college, I actually, for whatever reason, decided that it was a much better idea for me just to be an entrepreneur. That's all I ever wanted to be. And I had figured out in my little 17-year-old head that while they were wasting 4 years in college, I was going to be out tearing up the roads and building a business. So I was part right, part not so right, but you know, that's a different story. So, but anyway, I mean, it worked out really well. And I always loved being an entrepreneur. And so, anyway, from there, I've had several different businesses. I had a broadcast quality video production company in LA. We did, things for the television stations. We did a Richard Simmons video at one point.
Oh, that's awesome.
Back in the '70s when Richard was, you know, and it was like the big thing, exercise, right? And, all kinds of fun stuff. So, and then we did some, you know, so a lot of fun things. And then actually, at that point, then we moved to Colorado and got out of television and got out of the LA rat race. My kids were getting to be like eight and nine, somewhere in there. So getting out of the rat race and breathing that nice air like you have in Boise, and climbing mountains and rafting rivers and all that. So that was really a fun time. And then from there, I actually from a long story, but ended up in the state of Maine publishing a business journal, an international business journal. So it was published in Maine and Atlantic Canada. And basically we had information that could go back and forth, and we were there to actually support and encourage business. And so, my big dream with that, both of my girls were then in high school. And so they worked with me in the business. And my big dream with that was to sell the company. And I had targeted this Canadian magazine, and I contact the editor. And so we were selling, you know, he was like, okay, we're going to, you know, do a deal and all this. And so it was pretty dang exciting. And so, but from that, he said, but my board of directors wants you to make it a little bit bigger. We have to have it in Boston and New York. And so for that, I needed venture capital. I also needed somebody that knew how to sell a business nationally, because I didn't. So I took on this consultant, and that's when the story changes. So at that point, then it turned out to be, we just got involved as a relationship. You know, by then I had been divorced for a while. And so we were kind of getting involved, and it was really a time that I thought was going to be just the most exciting time in my life. But what ended up happening is it ended up turning into day by day, drip by drip, into an abusive relationship. And so I was trapped, right? And so, through all that, I ended up pretty much losing my business, because we had put it together. We had put both of our names on the business to be able to sell it and all of that. And now it wasn't only mine to sell anymore. And as people who are abusive do, they really get you day by day, and they know, they're very calculating. They're usually very charismatic. I just met a woman who I was telling my story to, and she started crying, and she says, "You have no idea. This is what I'm going through right now."
Aww.
And it's amazing. But anyway, so from that though, as what I thought was like the worst time in my life, right? One day my daughters called me, and they were still back in Maine, and they said, "Mom, you know, like I thought I was hiding it from them. Honestly, I really did. I thought, Whitney, you know that like, you know, I just thought, well, it'll get better and it's going to be fine." And I'd always been so self-sufficient, and I always raised my kids a lot of time as a single mom, and I was an entrepreneur and all this and that. And, I thought I can fix this, but honestly, you can't fix it. Right. And my daughters called me one day and she was just like, they were both on the phone and they were crying and they were just like, Mom, we're so scared. You know, we know that we're afraid we're going to get a call that says, you know, you've got thrown out of a car or you got hurt or something. And they said, Mom, we can't live with it. So we're asking you, please, we're sending you a plane ticket. Will you come home? And that's a pretty humbling thing from your daughters, you know? Yeah. And I think the biggest realization was that I realized I hadn't been hiding it at all. And when people love you, they know, and you can be all smiles on the phone, but actually, you know, they know. And so, I left with my purse and a dog. I had a Weimaraner and I left with my dog on a leash and a purse. And that was in Savannah, Georgia. And I went to Forsyth Park, where it's right in the middle of the park of the city. And, I sat on the bench, where they filmed the movie Forrest Gump. And I was sitting there where Tom Hanks sat when he said, you know, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Right. And that's what I thought. I thought, man, how did I end up here? Right. And that's all I could think about. I kept saying to myself, how did you let this happen? How did this happen? And I really couldn't answer all those questions then because it was really, you know, seriously a terrible time in my life. Mm-hmm. But I knew that, and I've always been the way that, you know, no matter what, where we are in life, we can always make it better. We can always start over. And so at 47 years old, I started over. So on that park bench that afternoon, I realized that I knew how business worked, but I didn't know how money worked. Mm-hmm. And I said, that was then like my big priority. I had to figure out how to make money work because I'd always been able to kind of shuffle money as we do as business owners, mm-hmm. personal pocket, business pocket, back again, whatever. And so now I knew I needed to know how money really worked. And so I went back to Maine and I became a financial advisor and I studied and I was hired by ING, right? A big global investment firm. And that was right in 08 when the market crashed. Mm. So there I am sitting there listening to the other financial advisors saying, you know, I'm sorry, but you lost 20, you know, talking to their clients, you lost 20%, 30%, 40% of your money. And I was like, oh my, and you know, a lot of your audience is probably pretty young to really have felt that, but I'm sure they saw their parents go through that, or they know people that lost, you know, the real estate market tanked, the economy tanked, and the stock market tanked all at the same time. And so there I am again. So I'm like, wait a second, now you're in this business. I'm not going to be the one the lady who calls people and go, oh, well, I was supposed to be watching your money. It actually went right down the tube. Sorry. You know? And that's what I was like, oh my God, I just got off the park bench, right? I'm not going to go and now be responsible for other people's money and think I can't stop it if it starts to fall. Mm-hmm. So I was going home every night going, oh, now what am I going to do? Now what am I going to do? And, I started, so I really just kind of one night, I just said, I have no idea. I need some guidance here and whatever. And so the next morning I woke up with this great idea. I said, wait a second. Wealthy people don't start over every time the market crashes.
Right.
Wealthy people have time and money even when the economy's tanking. How do they do that? And the bigger question was, why wasn't I told about that in financial advisor school?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Right? Yeah. Why did I not know this already? If there's anybody that's fresh out of school, it was me, right? So then I started, so I did what Napoleon Hill did in Think and Grow Rich, and I started asking wealthy people, okay, what do you do? How do you do that? How do you, and so what I found out is wealthy people, they handle their debt in a really efficient way. Mm-hmm. Number one, we all have debt, but it's how do you handle the debt, right? And there's an efficient way to do it. They also make sure their accounts never go backwards. Well, we know that doesn't happen with a stock market or a mutual fund account. It goes up and down all the time. Yeah. And we're always just told, don't worry, the market's coming back. Well, Warren Buffett, right, if we look at what he said, mm-hmm. he says there's two rules of investing. Rule number one is never let your money go backwards. And number two is never forget rule number one.
Plain and simple.
So he thinks it's that important, right? So I was like, well, then I need to like make sure that's starred in my notes, right? And then we need to think about taxes because mm-hmm. for young people especially, our country right now is $20 trillion in debt. That is a huge number. And I love to tell people this. So because it's hard, you know, like a million, a billion, a trillion. What's the big deal, right? I mean, it's just like the first letter. Mm-hmm. But so I looked it up on the internet and here's what it says. If you do it in time, mm-hmm. if you think about a second, right? That's like how long it takes us like to blink our eyes. A million seconds is 17 days.
Hmm.
A billion seconds is 31 years. And a trillion seconds, 1 trillion seconds is 31,688 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah, holy crap. That's what I said. Wow. And we're $20 trillion in debt in this country. Where's that going to come from? Government doesn't make or do anything to generate its own wealth. It only takes from people who work in the way of taxes. Mm-hmm. So wait, your audience, we're going to be working a long time. We're going to have a lot of taxes to pay if we don't pay attention to it now and put ourselves in a position that we pay the tax now and then our money grows the rest of our lives tax-free. So that's the big key. So I found out this is what wealthy people do. And the other thing that they make sure they have is liquidity to keep you out of debt, right? So you build
a company. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you tell everybody what liquidity is? Because I don't know if that's a common term for some of the listeners.
Sure. It's kind of, if you think about water, it's based like that. So liquidity just means that, and here's another interesting thing. So our word currency actually comes from the Latin word from a river to flow, like current.
Oh, that's so cool. So,
yes, right? Deepak Chopra said that. So the whole thing is like liquidity, like a river, like our money needs to flow. Mm-hmm. Our money doesn't need to be tied up. And what we have in tax-deferred IRAs and 401ks is you can't touch your money till you're 59 and a half or until they change the rules and make it 70 by the time you guys all get there, right? Who knows?
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is, that doesn't, just think about it. If you stop and think for 1 second, that doesn't make any sense at all. And so we're like, but we've believed it, right? Because that's all we've been taught and told. And so how could you know something that you haven't been taught, right? Or told. And so there I was like, now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this whole world has opened up for me. And so those are the things that we need to watch out for, right? So liquidity means to your listeners is that if they have debt, okay, like you can get accounts set up to help you get out of debt. Like we help people pay off all of their debt, including their mortgage in 9 years or less without going on a budget or spending more than they're spending right now. And then what happens is we say, well, look, if we can have you completely out of debt in 9 years, then think about it. You could just make those, like, let's say a mortgage, you're going to make those payments for 20 years anyways, make those payments to yourself. How fast does that money grow? And now it's all yours because you've already paid the tax. So it's like a Roth on steroids. And we use insurance companies instead of banks. So this isn't anything that's weird or crazy. We're just using 160-year-old insurance companies, been around and paid dividends for 125 years. So it's nothing, you know, spooky or like offshore in the Caymans or something, sure. You know? it's just been the wealthy people have been doing this since they started the IRS in 1913 to pay less tax. So those are the things we want to watch out for. We want to watch out for tax-free. We want to make sure we have liquidity because there's certain things we need to finance in life. And the most efficient way is to finance them, not just to pay cash for everything. Then we need to make sure that our money grows for us tax-free and that we can get it out whenever we need it. And we need to make sure that there's not fees inside of the accounts. And so that's really important in retirement accounts because baby boomers right now are retiring with record low amounts of money. Mm-hmm. The Department of Labor said between $60,000 and $100,000 for baby boomers.
Oh, that's
it? Yes, that equates to between $800 and like $1,000 or $1,050 a year.
Wow.
A year.
And they're trying to pay for their kids' education too.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Student loan debt is the biggest thing right now. And I'm writing a book right now called Zero is the New Million. But my next book is going to be called The Millennial Guide to Retiring Rich.
Oh, God bless you.
Well, exactly. And I mean, really, millennials got, you know, or people that have graduated in the last 15 or 20 years, 15 years maybe, have gotten the total short end of the stick.
Yeah.
I did a whole blog post on the fact that I said, hey, student loan debt, you know, not that it helps, but it's not your fault. It's not your fault. University costs tripled in like the last 20 years. And then it's the only loan that you can get that you have to show absolutely no ability to repay.
Yeah.
You just on the dotted line.
Yeah. 17, 18 year olds too. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And you think, well, oh, that's okay because their parents did it, right? But when, you know, their parents graduated, they graduated with $4,000 or $5,000 worth of debt. Okay. You can handle that. And besides, they came out in a really good economy. So bam, you got a job like that,
yep.
Right? Right in your field. Now I go to Macy's and I talk to people, or I go to, you know, Dillard's, or, you know, places that, you know, even anywhere, like places where people are working in lower income jobs and they have, you know, either a 4-year degree or more.
Yeah.
And it just breaks my heart. They're not even working in their field. And it's just like, I feel like it's costing the world all of their knowledge, all of their enthusiasm, all of that, you know, because And it's just really not fair. They came out with the biggest debt in American history and the worst economy in American history. And those, that's just like the 1-2 punch. So I'm really dedicated to helping people get out of the student loan debt and do it in a way that, just like we talked about with our homes. If, let's say I, there was a chiropractor that I just did something for, and she said, well, I'm not really worried about my debt because I only have a 1% interest.
Oh.
So I said, oh, okay, well, let's look at that. Most people have way more than that, right?
Very much but so.
She thought she was the hot ticket, right? So I ran it for her, and she had $100,000 because she was a chiropractor, right? And so guess what? Because what we do is you tell us what the debt is, and we run it, and then we tell you how long it's going to take you to pay it off.
Oh yeah,
it was going to take her. So it was going to take her 140 years. Okay, so she was going to make those payments till she went to her grave.
Literally, and after.
And after, right? And after, because you know, it doesn't go away just because you die.
Right.
And then it was going to cost her, for her $100,000 in debt, it was going to cost her $112,000 in interest.
Oh my gosh.
So see, like, they just get you for a lifetime plan. Just think about that. I mean, great idea for them, right?
Sure.
They all of a sudden, they get you on a lifetime plan and you can never get away. And here's what's happening to baby boomers that's so important, Whitney. This is, and I tell people this and they go white. If you don't have your student debts paid off, they take them out of your Social Security.
Oh, wow. God, see,
that's happening to baby
boomers. That's so crazy, because this is, we're talking about one person's scenario, but Cheryl, I run across people all the time that are 23, 24 years old with $70,000, $80,000 of debt. And that's not for medical debt or an attorney. That's student loan debt. I think there's this level of seriousness that we need to shift and recognize that this is a big deal, but I think it's so normalized that a lot of people don't recognize it's a big deal. Do you have any like tips in that area for how do we actually recognize this?
Well, I think that's the great question, but here's why. It's all you've ever known.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you don't have something to compare it to. Mm-hmm. You were told to go to college. I mean, I'm talking collectively.
Yeah.
And again, not everyone in the generation went to college. Some people were like me, right, who didn't go to college. But, you know, but the thing is, you know, as a whole, people went to college. People who have this debt, let me put it that way, have gone to college, obviously. And then they're not able to actually go out and make the money to pay it off. So they were really kind of lied to, right? Because they were told, how many people, if you said, oh, you're going to be broke for the next 40 years, how about you go to college? And you'd be like, I don't think so, right? And so, but they didn't say that. What did they say? Oh, here, you go here. You'll get all this great information. And then, oh yeah, you have a debt, but that's okay, because you're going to get a job right when you get out.
Six figures, and baby. So,
six figures. You got it. Day one. Yeah. I know. And so we've been duped. We've really, really been duped. We've been duped with the IRAs and the 401ks. And even the guy that started them was in the Wall Street Journal this January 3rd of this year on the front page, saying it was never meant to be a retirement vehicle for American families.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
I mean, my generations, we've been doing this for 30 years.
Right.
When was a good time to tell us, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I say, you know, I open up my talks because I speak across the country on this, and I love reaching out to people and trying to help them understand. Like you were just saying, how is it that we don't know? And it's because they've been really sure we don't know, you know? And it's not a conspiracy. It's just a reality. The fact is that he came out and even said, we tried to kill it during the Reagan years, but the financial brokerage houses were making so much money, they couldn't stop it, you know? Money talks. And so it was crazy. And then you think, even the last 10 years, the stock market's tripled since 2008, right? It was, you know, it's tripled. But have everybody's accounts tripled?
Oh, no. Gosh, no.
No.
They're like where they were. Going down.
See, and wait, does that make sense?
No.
But nobody's ever going to tell you that. They're not going to bring that up. So my advice and, you know, my tips are just really challenge that. You know, we do webinars and things, and I'm glad to give you that information. And it's a no-pitch webinar that's all about why this doesn't make sense and what you can do about it. But, you know, the whole thing is, this is all we've ever known. So my big thing to people is, don't feel bad. And you are totally not alone. I sit across kitchen tables with people all across the country, and everybody feels like, I think everybody else understands this, but I don't, right? What am I missing?
Why do we feel that way? You're spot on. We always do. We always feel like we're the last to know, but that's not the case.
It's because we have a taboo about talking about money in this country, right? Because really, how can they keep the secret? If everybody starts talking, you know, it's all going to come out. And so the whole thing is, you know, we compare ourselves to others and we think, well, you know, not in, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I'm saying like, oh, well, we make more money than they do. So they drive a BMW. We should be able to drive a BMW. Yeah, I can afford the payment, right? Let me see how I can get the payment for this much. And I can, it's only $100 more than I was paying for my Camry or something, you know? Okay, yeah. Well, they can do it. I'm sure we can do it too. Well, remember the debt is nothing more than the promise against future earnings. So not that I need to make anybody feel bad about debt, but the thing is you're promising money that you haven't made yet.
Right.
And that's the thing, you know? So we always teach people, you know, my company's called Lifestyle Wealth Group because I believe that we are here on this planet to enjoy our lives, right, not to save and scrimp and not have anything till we're completely out of debt. I know there's, you know, a couple people, Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey, that's what they talk about. I have so many people of their clients that come to me and saying, I don't want to eat, you know, I don't want to like scrimp and save and not have any money. Beans and rice. Yeah, I was going to say beans and crackers, but I guess you're right. Beans and rice. No crackers on this diet.
That must be the Susie Orman plan.
It might be. I'm not sure. I might have been. Who knows where That's I got true. That. But you get the idea, right? And so the whole thing is, why should we do that? You know, why don't we enjoy our life? And so there's plenty of time if we do it right. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing that people are really fascinated when I tell them. And this, I hopefully, you know, this is making people in your audience feel better because you're not alone, right? No. We have to just start the conversation. But here's part of the reason that we say, well, wait, I make this much money, but how come I always am broke, right? I feel broke anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, whether you're a food service worker or a neurosurgeon at the hospital, people are just broke at different levels. And that's because as we up-level our life, we up-level the same way that we've been doing, and it keeps us in the same position. And here's what that is. Americans, generally, are living on 27 cents out of every dollar that they make.
Wow.
27 cents. 27%. Here's why. Because we spend about 29 cents or 29% of our money on interest. And that's anything that we don't have. That's our home. That's our car. That's anything that we have financed. And see, like you get those statements and stuff. Now they have more disclosures than they used to. Yeah. But you still, if the bank can get you to make the minimum payment, the bank is killing it.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what they hope. And that's why they keep sending you. One company gives you, you know, a loan, then or a credit line, you get another, because they all know if they can keep you paying the minimum payments, they all make money hand over fist. Yep. Like my friend, the chiropractor, 1% interest, it's going to cost her $125,000 or $30,000, right? So we live on 27 cents. So 29% of our money goes to interest. And remind me to tell you something in a minute about the banks, because this will make it super clear too. And we spend 39% of our money or 39 cents on taxes. And that's not just income tax, mm-hmm. right? It's sales tax, property tax, right. Tax at the gas pump, tax when you go out to eat, tax when you buy a handbag, tax when you go to the grocery store, tax when you buy anything, right? Mm-hmm. Everything gets taxed, and that's money that's slipping through our fingers. We don't really see that money, and they're really glad about that, right? Because we don't see that money slipping through our fingers. But 40 cents out of every dollar, more than what we're living on, goes to taxes. And so that's why when people say, well, how come I feel so broke? And that's why, because we're living on 27 cents and we're maybe saving 5 cents on every dollar, 5%. So, and that's lucky. There's over, I think the number is something like 31% of the people in this country don't even have a savings account.
Yeah. Oh, it's so substantial.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, that's why I want to encourage people, don't feel bad. Just start the conversation and make sure you start it in a way that's going to actually end you up where you want to be, not just end you up on the treadmill that, you know, that the baby boomers right now are figuring out is a really bad idea.
Yeah.
So take it from them, right? Whether the Gen X or the millennials or whatever, but take the lesson and don't listen to what people say, because look at where they are. Mm-hmm. Like if people are retiring with between $60,000 and $100,000 in this country, and there's over 200,000 financial advisors. Somebody's not doing their job.
Sure, yeah.
Or they have the information. I mean, I'm not talking about financial advisors not being good. I'm just saying I was taught like they were, and we don't get taught this, what really works. We get taught to feed the machine.
Yeah, you're touching on a few really, really key points there that I think I would love to, we'll have to do this again too, and really geek out on the problems and the philosophical discussions. I think we could have a good time with that. But sure. I want to start getting into some like tactical stuff, because you've got some really great information here. So start the conversation. And then you mentioned this whole thing of getting out of debt in 9 years.
Right.
So that's fascinating because a lot of people have already accepted that they're going to have debt until they die. And here you are saying, no, you can actually do this in 9 years. Let's go there. So talk to me a little bit about how that works, how it's structured. What does that process look like?
Okay. So there's other ways, you know, there's companies that do like consolidation and they do different things. And, you know, that might have a place for some people. It's nothing that I recommend, but because it ends up hurting your credit, it ends up being more of a nightmare. But I'm talking about people that are actually, you know, that have money coming in and it's just going out faster than they, you know, like it's going out as fast as it comes in. And they're like, how come I'm not getting ahead? How come I can't pay down my debt? So what I found out, right, as I went and looked, is that insurance companies offer specialized contracts, and that's who I work with. I work with 150-year-old insurance companies instead of banks. And let me tell you why. Let me just tell you one thing about the banks, and then we'll talk about why the insurance company offers a different solution.
Sure.
Banks are allowed to loan your money out 7 times for every dollar you put in. Yeah. Right? So... they loan it out to one person for a house, let's say at 4%, somebody for a car at 5%, somebody for maybe new technology, let's say for their business at 8%, somebody maybe for a vacation for their family at 10%, and then 2 or 3 credit cards at 20 or 25%. The bank is making 100% on the money. They're acting like it's a big deal that they're giving you 1% on.
Yeah.
What?
If you're lucky, 1%.
If you're lucky, I just be generous because I don't want somebody to call and say, oh no, you know, but yeah, we're talking about 0.1 generally, you know,
yeah, exactly. The case. And,
I mean, I was in a bank the other day and it says new rates, you know, 0.125. And I'm like, what? I mean, you know, we look at accounts through insurance companies that pay over 5% tax free. So, I mean, huge difference, right? Mm-hmm. So massive. The bank's allowed to loan your money out 7 times for the house, the car, the boat, the technology, and a couple credit cards. And they get 100% return on that money that they're giving you 1% on. Mm-hmm. And here's what I ask people all the time. Isn't that really just the stuff you wanted anyway? A house, a car, maybe a new iPhone, a trip once in a while, and a couple credit cards? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about extravagance here. We're talking about like 21st century living,
right?
And why shouldn't we take that 100% back? Why don't we recapture that interest money and pay that money to ourselves instead of to the bank? So that's what we believe is one of the foundational things. So, you know, you don't pay cash for everything. It's not the most efficient thing to do. But using these leveraged accounts, and of course, we talked a little bit about leverage before. It's in my wealth report. But and really what leverage is, to make it simple and actually like where the rubber meets the road, we all know that there's inflation, right? And that means your money's worth less as time goes on. And it's just because it takes more money to buy stuff. And so like, you know, somebody was telling me the other day, oh, I used to pay 25 cents for a gallon of gas, you know, and I'm like, oh, fabulous. But you probably made $12 a week too. Right. You know what I mean? So the numbers just get bigger and that's inflation. They inflate, right? Everything inflates. Mm-hmm. You know, because of inflation, you're going to need more money as time goes on. And so with leverage, what you need, you can't put your money in the bank at 0.1%. And like Robert Kiyosaki said, he just recent quote, he said, you know, he wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Great book too. If you guys haven't read that one, make sure you check that one out.
Yeah. There's two quotes of his I love. But he said, if you're putting your money in the bank and thinking that the return that you're getting is ever going to make you wealthy, you're crazy. And he said, you're not only crazy, it's absolutely nuts. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you can't get ahead because inflation eats up more than what you have. So you'll never be wealthy no matter how much you can save. You need leverage, which means that your money is actually growing at a faster rate than what inflation is growing and the things that are costing you money. So you want to get ahead. You want to get ahead of that curve. Mm-hmm. That's all wealthy people do. They stay ahead of that curve. Mm-hmm. So that's really, you know, that's really the key there is making sure that you have leverage in the accounts.
So let's break that down a little bit further. So for the average person, say it's like a 27, 28-year-old that's looking at this situation, what are things that they could be leveraging? So can we
give
a tactical example of that?
Okay, so again, the only way I know, and there's probably other ways, but the only way that I know is using these insurance companies' accounts. Right now, that's the best thing to do. And so using those, what happens is we can get you out of, and you know, other people I'm sure can do it too, get you out of debt in 9 years or less without spending more than you're spending right now. And all we help people do is help them bring back some of the money that's slipping through their fingers, like we talked about with the taxes and the interest. We help them bring that back. And a lot of times, you know, we have like a one-page worksheet that we ask people to fill out, and they don't, we don't need their social or their account numbers, but just like Visa, you know, how much you owe and that kind of stuff. So it's not personal, like information like that, but it would just be student loan, how much you owe and what your interest is. And then my team runs it and shows you exactly how much interest you're going to pay and how long it's going to take you. And then we just contrast it on the other side of the sheet on what it might look like if you use some of these accounts and really started to leverage your money. So again, we don't charge for that, but that's, you know, that is the best way that I know to get a handle on it, because otherwise, I mean, there's other plans out there and things that people are doing, like consolidation and forgiveness and all that. I mean, I guess forgiveness is a good thing, but I don't know how those plans work and what it actually, what you have to sign away for that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
But I've been following that one, and it's we'll have to have a conversation afterwards about the forgiveness programs.
Because I'm sure there's, I mean, again, it doesn't make any sense to me that, you know, that all of a sudden they're just going to have this epiphany and say, oh, never mind.
We're done. You know? Sorry. Yeah. No.
Our bad. Didn't just kidding.
That's
so,
exactly,
you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's terrible. And I had a lady, actually who lives in Denver, not too far from where you are. And, you know, when you're talking about parts of the country, I know not driving, it's kind of a drive, but, but she called me crying one day. She just said, she went back to school when she was like 40 to become a nurse. And she said, and I had talked to her when she was like, I spoke in Santa Fe to a group of doctors, holistic doctors. And she heard me there and she was like, well, this sounds really good, but I'm not sure. And she kind of hemmed and hawed. And she called me, it was 5 years later, and she called me back crying. And she just said, you know what? My student loan keeps getting sold. You know how they sell it. And now she said, she went from owing like $47 to owing $127 because of $127,000 because of the interest, from $47,000 to $127,000 or something like that because of interest. Wow. And she wanted to buy a home before she quit working, and it's not happening.
No.
So, you know, they can resell the loan. And I said, well, why did you sign the paper? She goes, oh, I didn't sign anything. They just sell it. And when you, the original paperwork says, if they want to change the terms, they can change the terms.
That's exactly
that nobody would sign that in their right mind would sign that if they knew and understood, but they don't tell you, you know, you just think, okay, well, everybody else is doing it. I'll do it too. And it's just, but so the reality is it is what it is. Right. And my whole thing is I can get you where you want to be. I have to know where you are. And it's that way with a map, right? I could tell you right now how to get from your house to my house, but we have to know where you're starting from.
Right.
Are you going to end up? No. And you can't like stick your head in the sand, but look at, I can promise you, you're better than I was sitting on a park bench with a purse and a dog. Right. So the whole thing is you can, you know, if you know where you're starting from, you really can make a plan. And, you know, and look at a lot of these wealthy people, how they go bankrupt and they have really terrible situations and then they spring right back. It's because once you know how to do it, you can do it over and over again. But if you know, if you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to keep doing it over and over because that's all you know.
Yeah.
So the tactical things are, you need to take a look at some other options, right? Mm-hmm. Get some information and then, you know, start to think about, okay, what is your long-term plan? And like we talk about in the wealth report, the W is for why. It's an acronym, right? W is for why. And think about, really, when we think about our finances, you know, some people think, oh God, it's just so much work and it's this and it's that, and I don't feel good when I talk about it. But the thing is, think about your why, and when is it that you want to actually be able to say, wow, look how far I've come. Things are really going great. And now I know exactly where I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. So have a plan that's laid out for you that doesn't leave any wiggle room, you know, doesn't leave like, you know, well, if this happens, then this, or if that happens, then that, or whatever.
Sure.
You don't need that. You need to be able to put your head on the pillow at night and say, you know what? It might be tough in the first digging out, you know, might be tough. But the thing is, once you get there, it's free sailing. And just think, what if most people, if we don't get them out, if we don't include their mortgage, we have them out of debt in 3 or 4 or 5 years, 6 years. So what if, you know, like I was talking to a couple the other day and her daughter just turned 10. And I said, you look, you're going to be completely out of debt before your daughter's even old enough to drive. And she started crying. She was like, oh my God, I never thought about it like that. You know? Set it, you know, put your why out there. Think about why is it that it's so important? What would it feel like once you got that? Because if you think about whatever the amount is that you spend every month, when you're out of debt, that's all money that you can spend on whatever you want to spend it on.
Absolutely.
Spend it wisely, but, you know, don't do it again. Don't get back in debt. But the thing is, you know, get yourself set up in a plan where you can enjoy your life. You can travel, you can do what you want to do. Just have a plan for it.
So how do we, I think I know the answer. The plan for this is to actually just get your why, get very, very clear on that, get as much clarity as you possibly can, and then start breaking it down into goals. So let's talk about financial goals, because I feel like this is an area that people don't take very seriously. We're great with weight loss goals. I want to lose 10 pounds for my 10-year reunion, whatever it might be. But we're not so good at the financial goals. So how do you approach that with people that you work with?
Well, it comes down to, you know, we talk about education or miseducation. And the thing is, we all understand how to cut calories. You know, I mean, pretty much. I mean, we may not be great at it, but we understand that a carrot and a brownie, you know, it depends on what choice you want to make. And if you choose the carrot, then you're probably going to lose weight, right? But it's not that way with finances, because people don't know. Nobody's taught us what is the carrot, what is the brownie, right? And so that's what we want to, you know, we want to think about. You want to like learn what the actual, where the rubber meets the road. What is it actually? Not, don't read the marketing brochures, don't read all that, but figure out exactly what will really work for you, and have it in a guaranteed plan, a plan that tells you, okay, look, this is your minimum return, you know, and even if you go off of that, where will you be, right? And that way, you know, it's only going to get better than that. So you need a guaranteed, you know, floor, you know, a guaranteed tax-free return, and then you can start to build on it. But we can't, you know, with education and with, you know, we can't, what do I want to say? Like if I asked you to do brain surgery on somebody, you would have no idea what to do, right? I mean, I would guess. I don't know. Maybe
you were correct, Cheryl.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Either.
I would YouTube it, but
yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, right? But we don't do that with finance, right?
Right.
So the thing is, we need to know. We need to say, okay, look, I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And so learn what works from people who are actually doing it and making it work. And that's the most important thing, because, you know, a lot of people, again, I mean, traditional financial advising is just right now, it's putting you, people could see, I did a corporate event a couple of weeks ago in Orlando, and this girl lady stood up and she says, the lady came to me and talked about our 401k at my company. And she says, and she kept saying to everyone, when you get a raise, put that in your 401k. And she says, after what you've told me today, I'm not putting another penny in there. And she goes, and now I'm really mad that she even said that. And I'm like, right. That's, you know, that's like the right kind of mad to get you to take action. Yeah, be mad. You know, it's your money. You need to be able to use it now. You need to be able to use it for the things you want. Don't put it in an account which you can't use forever, and that for until you're 59, get 1 or 2 or 3% while you're paying the bank 18. Mm-hmm. We don't want to think about it because we don't know there's other options, but there are if we go outside of the banks and outside of the tax deferred accounts. And so, you know, that's what it's education. And, you know, and then it goes like in the wealth report, the T is for time, right? So young people, and I'm saying 40 is young. Think about that. I was on the park bench at 47, right? So the thing is, you know, you have a lot of time to let that work for you.
Yeah.
And then T, and H is for, you know, financial health. So, you know, making sure that you understand what really does work. It's like knowing the difference between what's healthy for you and what's not healthy for you. And then it makes the choices easier. Sure, you're going to cheat once in a while. You know, you do that with your money. That's great. You need to have money to go enjoy your life. That's why my company's Lifestyle Wealth Group, because I always say there's no happy ending if the journey's not fun.
It does have to be fun. And I love that you're mentioning this whole concept of be aware, get pissed, but ultimately you've got to take responsibility, and you've got to be able to reach out to people for help if you need it. If you are one of those people that wants to just do it yourself, great, do that. But make sure you're getting the right education as a whole. And that can be a little tricky, because I think we got to put the ego aside a little bit.
Exactly.
And yes, it's scary.
It's okay. Exactly. And it's okay that you don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what I find with so many people. They feel like they're the only ones that don't get it or the only ones that don't understand or whatever. And it's not true. So be, you know, don't be ashamed. You know, be, just, you know, be ready to take action. And it doesn't have to mean that you live on a meager budget. It just means you have to start making, you know, daily, you know, just start making daily steps into learning what actually will work for you. Because think about it. I mean, once you get out of debt, then it's such a crazy, you know, it's such a great situation. Then you have a lot of choices. And, you know, and the other thing is I want people to think about too, you know, we all have money stories, you know, we might've heard from our parents, like, mm-hmm. you know, oh, rich people must have, you know, cheated somebody out of their money or whatever. But, you know, but we've learned a lot more now. We know that there's plenty of money to go around and that we just have to learn how to tap into it. And so, you know, the whole thing is just being, you know, being able to understand that it is there for us. All we have to do is be able to, you know, to start taking action and take action in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And then things will start, you know, once one thing gets better, everything starts to get better.
Yeah. This has been so much fun. Let's start wrapping it up because I know you've got stuff and we could easily chat for hours on this. This has been so much fun, but can you give people just like three takeaways that people can start doing immediately to start seeing results and maybe capturing some more of that money that they're currently letting slip through. So like three little tips that we can all start implementing with our financial lives.
Sure. So number one is, and this is the most painful one, but write it all down, right? Yeah. Take a look at where you are. And again, no shame in that, right? That's just smart. And just write it down. And then, you know, find out how much is your interest costing you? How much, you know, how long is it really going to take you to pay off those debts if you pay them off like you are? Sometimes too, making extra payments on credit cards really isn't the best way to do it. Right. So, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to take a look at actually what, you know, what you want to accomplish and how you want to do it. So number one is really that. Number two is to just start to be open to new ideas because we have to do that in today's age. We have to be able to know where we are. We have to be able to get a plan. So to ask for help if we need it and whether that's education or whatever, but to be able to get that. And then number three is just really to stick to the plan and just to know that you have to have liquidity in any plan that you have because stuff comes up, mm-hmm. right? And we, you know, you can't plan for everything in life. And I think a lot of times what happens is without the liquidity, you know, if people are living pretty much, you know, like, you know, without a lot of wiggle room, then, you know, then it's tougher because, you know, something can happen and you might need extra money for things and then it throws everything in, out of whack. So know that life is unexpected and know that there's things that are going to come up and, but just be able to have your financial plan set in a way that you have that liquidity so that you can go borrow from yourself and pay yourself back and recapture that 100%. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I want to say is a lot of people think of money in two different ways. They think of the money that they save and the money that they spend, mm-hmm. right? And that's where I think we get a lot of head cramps about that, you know, freeze or burn on that. Because there's really three kinds of money. And the first one is, of course, the money you save, that money you spend. But the third one is the money that slips through your fingers, like what we talked about. Mm-hmm. And if you think about that 27% that I told you about, 27 cents that we're living on, and you take out and you take the rest of the money, which is almost 70% of the money that we make that we're not even getting anything for. Mm-hmm. That's why we feel broke, because we spend 29 in taxes and 38 in interest, 39 in interest. I mean, the other way around. 29 in interest, 39 in taxes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, think about that. That's 70% of your money that's slipping through your fingers and you're not really getting anything for that. So we want to recapture that money. And that's what I'd like to encourage your audience to do is to think about how much money is slipping through their fingers and how can they get that back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Then their money goes a lot further and you add it straight back into your lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really good thing for people to start thinking about is I think it's a newer concept for a lot of people. If mm-hmm. you're in the industry, I think we kind of sort of understand parts of that, not all right. of that. Like we know optimized taxes, we understand trying to reduce fees, but there's a lot to that. That's a lot of information and that's like an entirely, I mean, that's your business too, is helping
exactly.
people do that. So it's fascinating. So what's the best place for people to go to start connecting with you on a personal level? Is there a place you like to hang out the most?
Actually, I love, I have 5 platforms on social media, so they can connect with me on any of those. Generally, I think it's Cheryl Fields, Inc., INC. Okay. So it's CHERYL and then Fields, FIELDS and INC. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn.
Awesome. And we're definitely going to be linking to the Wealth Report as well.
So good.
I think that would be killer and very, very helpful for a lot of people. So we will definitely have that linked in the show notes on themoneynerds.com.
That's great.
So make sure you guys go check that out too. All right. What'd you think? Cheryl has such an amazing story and I really admire her long, tedious journey to entrepreneurship. 35 years is amazing. No small feat. That's for sure. I speak for myself. I'm like 4 years in and I'm like, oh my God, like 35 years is a long time. So I have hats off to Cheryl in that area. So one of the things that really stood out to me from this entire interview was just this whole process of where's our money actually going? We think we know where it's going, but sometimes it's those hidden fees, those hidden things, taxes, interest on your loans, that kind of stuff, that we don't quite understand where it's actually going. And so I thought that was really an interesting point to bring up, and it's something that I'm going to be doing a little bit more research into myself. All right, guys, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening in. If you have any feedback at all, please shoot me an email. I'm really open to hearing from you and suggestions on guests and all kinds of fun stuff. Send me an email, whitney@whitneyhanson.com. I would love to hear from you and hear how this podcast can go either really, really well for you or what I can do for improvement or any of that stuff. I'm happy to hear it all. Thank you so much for joining in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.